In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week we entered the holy place and spoke about two of the three furnishings, the golden lampstand and the table of showbread. The lampstand pointed ahead to the Word of God, which reveals Christ. It alone is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. The table of showbread, recall, was the meal that God prepared for us, his priests, so that we might share in his holiness. They are word and sacrament inside the holy place. Together tonight, we meditate on that third furnishing, the altar of incense. The altar of incense was made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Now, compared to the bronze altar, it was relatively small. A cubit is about 18 inches. So about 3 feet high and 18 inches deep and wide. No animal or grain offering was to be sacrificed on it. No fire was to be kindled on it. But coals were to be taken from the bronze altar to the golden altar. And then on top of it, incense was burned twice a day. About half a pound of incense was burned. The cost of incense at that time was nearly the same as gold. But why was it burned? Because incense symbolizes the prayers of God's people. Recall how Zechariah was burning incense when Gabriel appeared and the people outside were praying. So as the incense rose, that signified the prayers of the God's people rising to heaven. And as the incense hung in that temple as a cloud, so also the people's prayers were always before God. But there is more. The sweet smell of incense also covered up the fragrance of death. The sacrifice was pleasing in God's eyes. And then once a year on that Day of Atonement, the horns or the corners of that golden altar were smeared with blood to atone for it. And then the high priest would take the incense into the Holy of Holies so that the cloud of incense might hide him and conceal the presence of God, lest the priest look upon God's presence and die. And so that cloud of smoke, the cloud of incense, filled the temple day after day. This incense was a special blend that was instructed by God. Anyone who was found using this incense was to be put to death. Likewise, anyone who was found using a different fire other than coals from the bronze altar was also put to death. And Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, did just that. Fire shot out of the Holy of Holies and consumed them. The point was clear. Israel has no right to change the rites that God has established. The temple was the place for the divine service, where God's people came to him and he came to them to bless them. He alone is the God who can save them. He alone is the God who hears their prayers and makes their prayers acceptable in his sight. So no changing what God has established. So incense was critical to their divine service. But what does it teach us today? Again, incense are the prayers of the saints. The psalmist says, "Let my prayer rise before you as incense." Prayer is an offering to God, a sacrifice to him. He deserves our songs, our worship, our time, our talents, our money, our offerings, but he also deserves our prayers. We are not free to withhold them from him simply because we refuse to make time for them on a particular day. Our prayers are his by right. So as no animal was to be sacrificed on that golden altar, so our prayers do not earn favor with God. They're not meritorious in any way. Yet as this altar was overlaid with gold, so our prayers are also precious in God's sight. So let us beseech the Lord morning and evening. Let us pray continually as the apostle instructs us, for the ears of the Lord are always directed toward his people. He wants to hear your prayers and he takes them into account. Recall how he listened to Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, or how he heard Hezekiah pray for a long life and the Lord granted him 15 more years, or how he heard the prayer of that thief on the cross and brought him home to paradise that very day. So let your prayers ascend to the Lord like incense, for he is always ready and willing to hear. But recall also how on the Day of Atonement, the horns, the corners of the altar were covered and smeared with blood. This teaches us that our prayers are acceptable only because of the blood that atones for our sin. For who of us can approach God with our prayers on the basis of our own merits? Who of us is worthy enough to pray to God because of who we are? Can we offer a sacrifice that atones for our sin? Can we offer a prayer so beautifully constructed that it needs not go through Christ? Prayers are not heard because they are theologically correct, but only because of the atoning blood of Jesus. And so God does not hear the prayers of unbelievers, even if they happen to pray the Lord's Prayer. But he only hears the prayers of those who have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Scripture says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And so it is impossible for unbelievers to pray. They can't force God's hand by simply folding their hands or bowing their heads or reciting some words. Likewise, he will not listen to your prayers because you said the same thing many times or because you prayed something new. He does not hear you because you are fervent in prayer or because you're clever or beautifully or ornate. Neither does he hear you because you're short and sweet or long-winded. He hears only because of the blood of Christ that covers you. You are not saved by your praying, but only by that atoning blood. And only after being washed can you now offer your prayers to God. And so this altar was smeared in blood. And so the coals had to be from that burnt altar, the bronze altar, for prayer can only be built upon the sacrifice of Christ. Recall that when our Lord died, he was wrapped in 75 pounds of incense. What do you think he smelled like when he rose from the dead? So whatever you ask in the risen Jesus' name, he will give to you. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in the name of our risen Lord, who is the only one who atoned for our sins, tore open that curtain, and reconciled us to God. He is your only mediator, him crucified and him raised. In him you can now approach God with freedom and confidence. So pray for small things and pray for great things, for Christ is risen. Pray short prayers and pray long prayers because Christ is risen. Pray for new things and pray the same thing for the millionth time because Christ is risen. To pray in Jesus' name is not simply to tack that phrase on at the end of your prayer, but it's to pray in the faith and the confidence that your prayers are heard solely because of Christ and what he has done. He makes your prayers acceptable to God. He offers up your prayers as his own prayer. And so incense, blood, resurrection, and prayers are all tied together. And at the same time, that incense also provided a covering for the high priest and for God himself, so that the high priest would not look on God and die. God liked to appear in a cloud to the Old Testament people. He led them through the Red Sea in a pillar of cloud. But when it came to the temple, it no longer was a cloud that was present, at least not a divinely created cloud, but it was the cloud of incense that the priests constantly burned morning and evening. And so we see it in Isaiah's vision of heaven, that the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, the smoke of incense. And so first and foremost, even before incense being the prayers of the saints, first and foremost, incense is the risen Jesus. It conceals the glory of the Father so that we might stand before God with boldness and confidence, for through Christ alone we can approach him. He alone makes our prayers acceptable to God. He alone conceals our guilt and hides our shame, so that we might enter into the Holy of Holies boldly and unafraid. In Jesus alone we know God. In Christ alone we can now approach God. Therefore, with Jesus we stand before the very presence of our God, unafraid, because of all that Christ, our risen Christ, has done for us. As God forbade the Israelites from using incense in their homes, so also there is only one place that we can go, through one mediator that we can go. Our prayers are heard only because of Christ crucified and raised. But unlike Israel, we are not restricted to one building. God spoke through the prophet Malachi, saying, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations." And in our day, the gospel has gone out into all the world, and prayers are offered in Jesus' name by men, women, and children of every nation under heaven. So what was prophesied in the book of Acts has now come true. And what the Pentecost disciples devoted themselves to, the church continues to follow. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, they continued devoting themselves to the holy place. For you, devote yourselves to the Word of God, the lamp for your feet and the light for your path. And you devote yourself to the fellowship, that is, the breaking of bread, whereby you commune with your God and so share in his holiness. And you devote yourself to prayers. And as you pray, as you gather together as the church of God with two or three, there the risen Christ is present among you. The sweet smell of his resurrection delights our senses, for God has heard our prayers. We are acceptable for Jesus' sake. So let us not think of incense as belonging to a particular denomination, but let us see it as a sign of the risen Christ's presence among us, to make them and their prayers acceptable to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.